Probably don't need to tell you that we're in Genesis chapter 1. Finishing off from what we started last week, we can't go back and review very much, but there's one thing I forgot to mention as I was starting out. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit moving over the waters? And I said that I liked the word hovering that was in the Amplified. And I was going to come back to that, and I forgot. And talking to some others who have a scientific bent agreed with me that it's very possible, because light has pretty well the same properties as gravity, that when light was created, gravity is part of that package. Now, scientists haven't come up with an understanding of what gravity is, but many are speculating that it is part of the electromagnetic spectrum, the same as light is, somehow. But irrespective of that, it has the same properties. And it's very likely that when God created light, he also created gravity, and that's why the Spirit had to hover over the waters and hold it together until gravity would do a takeover during that first verse. That's just a I can't say that it's true, but that's what I like to imagine, if you know what I mean. So, kind of a neat way of looking at it. Anyway, we're now into the fourth day, and we'd like you to be involved here a little bit. So, if someone would read 20 to 23 for us, to give us a an introduction to what's happening here.
Then God said, "Let the waters be the strength of the living creatures, and let them fly in the earth and live in the sky." God created the great sea monster and every living creature that moves, which took the water of the land after the sea. And every living bird after the sea, and God saw it and it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply in the earth." There was evening and there was morning.
My mistake. I didn't type this properly. It's the fifth day. We just finished the fourth day last week. Anyway, this is the fifth day, right? You read the right passage. I just didn't put the right word, a number up here. So, he made the flying creatures. And that's not just birds. It would be insects. Now, those who hold to the view that the days of creation could be a lot of years, like thousands of years or something like that. Think about it. When did we have vegetation come along? That's been previously, right? Pardon? Day three. So, the insects are pollinators. They wouldn't be able to reproduce. And if this went for thousands of years, it'd be a long time before anything could reproduce. So you can't have a long period of time if you've got this sequence. The pollinators have to be there to help the plants reproduce. So not only was it birds, but we also have underwater creatures too. Now, Avibase is an extensive, I should do this first. Here's our water creatures. Now, it's also freshwater as well as ocean, and we've got all these little ugly creatures too. You ever watch nature shows and they have some really, really strange stuff? And you wonder, why did God make that? Your mind is going to be blown when I read this information to you. Avibase is an extensive database information system about all the birds in the world. It says they contain over 52 million records. How many people are in the world? Is it 7 million, something like that? 7 billion, I mean? 7 billion? These records are of species. Now, they have found that there's about 10,000 different species and then 22,000 different subspecies of birds that God just made. And then he had a little bit of time left over, so he thought he'd maybe make the sea creatures too. And do you know that 91% of the species are yet to be classified in the ocean? In other words, they haven't even classified a tenth of them yet. And that over 80% of the ocean is unmapped. Now, there's a reason I'm telling you this, and I'll show you in a minute. There are 260,000 known species in the seas, but there's only done 9%. So you got to multiply that by at least 10 to get the total number. And this does not include freshwater creatures. We marvel at what God has done, and we're going to come back to this a little bit later. But here's an interesting passage we read in Jeremiah 31. As I was reading through Jeremiah when I was preparing this, he said, "Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundation of the earth below can be explored, then I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord." So, here again we have confirmation of the fact that God is not finished with Israel. Not until man has discovered everything about this world. And if we're only at 10%, let's say, it's going to be a while. It's an assurance that God keeps his promises. We're going to come back there, but we're going to move on to the next couple of verses, just two verses, 24 and 25. So how did he make these creatures on the earth? What did he do? He just spoke. And they... How many are there? Well, see that second column? This is the number of species of terrestrial things. We've already talked about species of ocean things. 5.5 million species. And of course, in each species, there's sometimes thousands and millions of individual creatures, right? So the total number of species on Earth of all the living creatures turns out to be almost 8.8 million different species. And I think that's going to be an important point we have to remember in a few minutes. Because I want you to read now the next passage, which is 26 to 31. If someone read that, and then someone else just read chapter 2, verse 7. So verse 7 now gives us a little more insight. How did God create all the animals? And how did he do it? He spoke the word, right? But then he's creating one person. And he gets down and he molds him from the earth. And he gets down and he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. A very intimate activity. This is his special creation. And he knew that this creation was going to disobey him. But he did it anyway. And then he got down again and he took a rib and he made a woman who has the same DNA as the man. Identical DNA. And he knew that this woman was going to lead the man to disobey him. But he did it anyway. Amazing that he would care that much for this creation. I love this picture. And then he created man and woman. This is from October the 3rd this year. A transgender Lutheran pastor pretending to be a man on the Bible's clear line of male and female was asked the question, how come if God's explicitly said he created male and female, she says, it's hard to relate to modern day times because it wasn't written for 2024. It was written for then. When we read in Scripture that God created man and woman, yes, and God created everybody else as well. Can you imagine what this church is hearing? The blasphemy? But that's what people are hearing. This is from History, Facts, Science, and Industry from September the 7th of this year. It says, if you were to trace all our family trees as far back as into the past as possible, you'd find we're all related. Duh. Albeit extremely to Eve. In other words, we're related to Eve a long way back. And scientists believe she lived in Africa some 200,000 years ago. Recent research, I don't know what they're researching, may have narrowed down the location to an oasis in the Kalahari desert, making it the ancestral homeland of all humans alive today. According to the researchers, Eve is technically known as mitochondrial most recent common ancestor, or MT Eve or MT MRCA. And her lesser-known male counterpart, as known as Y-chromosome Adam. He is also believed to have lived in Africa around 150 to 300,000 years ago. Now, I don't understand why he would be living in a different era than her, but somebody's had to wait a long time to get together. The idea of a common ancestor has led to the concept that mitochondrial Eve was the first female human, which isn't correct. She was the most recent common ancestor to whom every living person can trace their genealogy. Every human on the planet carries the Eve gene, including 147 people and fetuses from the original 1987 study. That study wasn't the first to hypothesize a common ancestor, but the researchers behind it did coin the term mitochondrial Eve. And can you imagine the billions of dollars being spent on this stuff that could go to something a little more worthwhile when all they have to do is read the first page of Scripture? But that's what we're dealing with in this culture. People are constantly trying to come up with these ideas, and they're coming closer and closer to the truth, just getting their years, number of years on. But now all of a sudden we have common ancestors. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. Right. It shows that there's no such thing as more than one race, just a human race, with different genes which produce various physical differences. So that's God created man. Pretty simple, eh? Let's just wait a minute. I want you to look at something. This is our bodies. This is the 12 systems that make up our body. The nervous system, the circulatory system, digestive, endocrine, exocrine, integumentary, muscular, reproductive, respiratory, skeletal, urinary, lymphatic. He was doing this, but not just for us, for every animal he created. How many species of animals are there? About 7 point, not including bacteria and all that stuff, but up. Pardon? There's 7.7 million? Hmm? A lot. He did this for us, but he also did it for every animal he created. All these things that work so perfectly together. And so that we can add to our marvel, I want to quickly talk about some of these things just to see how wonderfully made we are. Here's your brain, the nervous system. It's faster and more powerful than a supercomputer. It generates enough electricity to power a light bulb. I wonder if that's where the light bulb can run. Your brain contains 100 billion microscopic cells called neurons. So many it would take you over 3,000 years to count them all. Your nervous system controls all organs and muscles in your body, as well as assess response to your senses. Sight, touch, hearing, taste, smell. Actually, I've been reading that they're not just five senses. They say there are 30 senses that we actually have in our body. I didn't want to get into that. And then neurons send info to your brain at about 240 to 322 kilometers per hour. The circulatory system is the human body stretches 66,000 miles, more than 2.5 times the circumference of the earth. The heart beats 2.5 billion times during the life of a 75-year-old. I'm past that. The heart expels 2 ounces of blood with each beat, 5 quarts of blood each minute, 220 million quarts of in 70 years and still beating. Blood is a liquid tissue Fluid makes up more than half. Plasma, white, and red blood cells make up the remainder. The red blood cells, erythrocytes, are the body's cellular lungs. Their job is to ferry oxygen to every cell and remove the carbon dioxide. If the red blood cells from one person were to be stacked in the sky, they would reach 31,000 miles. Yep. The DNA is like that. If you were to take, if the DNA was a basketball, when it's replicated, it's unraveled, and it would be equivalent to unraveling it 123 miles, and then back again, 3,000 times a second. That's what's happening in your cell when it's being replicated. With electron microscopes, things like that, they can measure this. They know that the red blood cell has 270,000 hemoglobin molecules, and each one carries 4 oxygen molecules to replenish your oxygen. This is happening to you right now in your body, right? Just sitting here. The hemoglobin and red blood cells scoop up oxygen molecules and oxygen-rich tissues in the lungs, then releases them in oxygen-deprived tissues throughout your body. Each second, we lose about 3 million red blood cells, only to be replaced by the same number produced in the bone marrow. Every second, 3 million of them. Venous blood, which is your veins, delivers carbon dioxide back to the lungs, makes up 75% of the blood flow at any given moment. Are you amazed yet? The digestive system, there are the eight organs, the mouth, pharynx, esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large intestine, rectum, anus. Your digestive system has its own nervous system called the enteric nervous system. Your small intestine's about 20 feet long, large intestine about 5 feet long. 3 sets of salivary glands give over a liter of saliva every day. Your gut microbiome can affect your emotional being as well, and vice versa. And I've been reading that there's a number of recent discoveries about the relationship of between the microbiome in our gut and various diseases, even autism and other chronic problems, is traced back to our gut and the lack of the proper biome. I also read this week that they have found that giving antibiotics to young children kills the microbiome in their gut and makes them more likely to have chronic problems with their lungs, such as asthma and other lung diseases. They want to pump all these vaccines and antibiotics and everything into your body, but they don't know the long-term effect of all this. And they're now starting to find this out. Digestive enzymes are a different type of enzyme that target different nutrients. For example, amylase breaks down carbohydrates and starches. Protease breaks down proteins. Lipase breaks down fats in several places throughout your digestive system, including your mouth, stomach, pancreas, and small intestine. So he's created all these things just, you know, right at the end of the day when everything else is created for us. This is your endocrine system. It's hormones, 8 major glands. There's the hypothalamus, the pituitary, thyroid, parathyroids, and adrenal body, ovaries, and the testes. Like the nervous system, the endocrine system is an information signal system, but rather than using neurons, it uses chemical messengers called hormones, which have its own unique function. This could go on all night, couldn't it? The exocrine system, lacrimal glands, which are tear ducts, the pancreas, which works on your digestive system, and if you don't have a proper working pancreas, you have diabetes, right? Salivary glands, which we already talked about. Liver secretes the bile that contains salts and digestive substances. Mammary glands, of course, the breast milk, and eccrine sweat glands, which we are quite familiar with. Then there's our integumentary system. That's your skin, right? Epidermis, dermis, hypodermis, glands, hair, nails. Protects us against disease, physical harm. Performs many intricate functions such as body temperature regulation, cell fluid maintenance, synthesis of vitamin D, and the detection of stimuli. This is not on the final exam, by the way. Your muscular system, skeletal muscles, specialized tissue that is attached to bones and allows movement. Smooth muscles located in various internal structures, including the digestive tract, uterus, and blood vessels as arteries. Cardiac muscles, the muscle specific to the heart. I'd like you to hold your hand up and bend your finger. Do you know that your fingers have no muscles in them? Not one. Look at the back of your hand, and what you see is the tendons in your wrist are actually moving your fingers, not the muscles in your finger. The reproductive system, tissues, glands, organs involved in producing children. He had to create all this. Respiratory system, your left lung is smaller than your right lung to accommodate for your heart. 70% of waste is eliminated through your lungs just by breathing. Think about that. No matter how hard we exhale, our lungs will always retain 1 liter of air in the airways. Oxygen only plays a small part in our breathing. The air we breathe contains 21% oxygen. Our bodies use 5%. The lungs are where the blood drops off carbon dioxide and picks up oxygen. Humans exhale up to 17.5 milliliters of water every hour. Keep drinking. Skeletal system. The adult human body has 206 bones. Children? 300. And in time, about a year old, they start to knit together to form fewer bones. 26 bones in the human foot. The human hand, including the wrist, contains 54 bones. The femur, or thigh bone, is the longest and strongest bone in the human skeleton. The stapes is the middle ear. In the middle ear is the smallest and lightest bone of the human skeleton. Bones stop growing in length during puberty. Bone density and strength will change over the course of life. The only bone in the human body not connected to another is the hyoid, a V-shaped bone located at the base of the tongue. Bones are made up of calcium, phosphorus, sodium, and other minerals, as well as the protein collagen. Bones also produce red and white blood cells. Almost done. The urinary system filters the blood to remove what body does not need. It removes extra water, salt, toxins, and other waste products. Different parts of the urinary system perform tasks as filtering blood, storing and expelling urine, and separating toxins from nutrients. Very important part, and so is this a very important part, our lymphatic system. It drains all of the waste materials produced by every cell in the body. A human body can have up to 700 lymph nodes that constantly work to filter the lymph fluid before it returns back to the circulatory system. The largest organ in the lymphatic system is the spleen. We only think about the lymphs when we hear about cancer, right? But it's working all the time. Unlike the circulatory system, the lymphatic system has no pump. is a one-way system that relies on gravity, breathing, and gentle movement to keep it flowing properly. Makes you have a good reason to get up and do something rather than sit there all day. The lymphatic system is described as a distribution network of the immune system, since they work symbiotically to fight viruses, bacteria, and other undesirable materials that make their way into the body. If the glands in your neck are swollen, it's a sign that your lymph nodes are in the process of fighting an infection. While it may not feel good, your body is doing its job. If you go to the doctor and he goes like this to you, that's what he's feeling for. See if you've got something that your body is fighting. The appendix, an organ that in the past was thought to be useless, dead-end tube, was recently discovered to be part of the lymphatic system. Some of you are missing that one. The lymphatic fluid goes everywhere that blood goes in the body, including our organs and bone marrow. We are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. And every creature on earth has a system like that that God created in 2 days. We saw the size of our universe that he created in 1 day. We saw the magnificence and intricate parts of our what filled the earth, Jason has been teaching us about. And instead of trying to figure this all out, as many scientists do, we should, when we find out this information, we give glory to who created it. That's what science should be all about. Any questions or comments before we go on? We're just going to finish off for a few other comments. So there we have the number of species we talked about. We talked about the fact that each one of those species, 7.77 million species up at the top right of animals, and each of the others have their own system, but not nearly as complex as animals and humans. But on the seventh day, God rested. Someone read those first three verses of Genesis chapter 2, please. So, what's your opinion of rest? How do you feel about rest? Let's put it this way. What are some of the advantages of having rest? See if you can come up with some. Rejuvenate your energy? Yeah, okay, rejuvenate your energy. Anything else? Okay. Help your mental health. Good point. Anyone else? Keeps you sharp and alert. All right. That's good. We're getting there. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you. Oh, okay. Right, we're obedient. Right. Okay, like it improves relationships. Okay. A sense of peace. Okay, good. So there's that sense of accomplishment or something like that. Okay, good point. So I thought I'd look up some experts on this. And here's what they say. Fewer injuries. Oh, we missed that one. The point is, if you're tired, you can't lift your feet, you stumble over things and so on. So they find that people who injure themselves often are tired. And there's also, it helps our immune system. because your body has the opportunity to build up your immune system. If you're tired, then it's fighting that, and it can't do what it's supposed to. Less stress, kind of what you're referring to. Muscle repair. You know when you have a workout and you feel achy all over? That's because all the muscles that you used actually have torn. And you should have a day or two to let that heal itself, right? So, heart health. There are studies that saying that having rest helps you develop your heart, helps you maintain weight, believe it or not. You think activity helps us maintain weight, but actually rest does as well. Allows your mind to rest. It boosts creativity. If you're always having to do something, your mind can't relax and become more creative. It boosts recovery, well, the healing, and so many other things, right? Brain function encourages better sleep, improves productivity, which is similar to creativity, and gives your mental health a boost. So that's why we need rest. And God knows that, so He gave us a day in which we should. So what sort of rest can we have? Well, how would you describe rest? Different schedule, okay. Yeah, an alternate, yeah, okay. Sorry, a break from work, okay. Yeah. A snooze in the afternoon isn't a bad idea. So if we're talking about one day of rest, how can we do that effectively? So let's just look at the types of rest that there are. First of all, there's the one, obviously, is physical rest. Now, physical rest doesn't have to be taking a nap all the time. There can be a passive rest, if you know what I mean. It doesn't have to be inactive. It can be active rest. You can go for a stroll in the woods, throw leaves over your head or something. As long as it's not high energy, sometimes that's as restful for some people as just having a nap. Then there's mental rest. Especially with people who are having to do a lot of thinking and involved in mental activity. Leave your work at the office. Don't mull things over when you come home. Don't lay awake nights thinking about what you're doing the next day. Give your mind a break. There's emotional rest. Spend time with people that help you relax. And take time out from carrying the emotional baggage that you have. I know that's difficult, but it's important for your own health. One advantage of having close fellowship with other believers is that we can carry one another's load. So it's important to have people around you that can help you have this emotional rest. There's sensory rest. We don't know much about that because we got the screens on every day. If you live in a noisy neighborhood, go somewhere where it's quiet. If you are on the computer all the time, take a break. Something that's not going to be assaulting your senses. Then there's creative rest. If you're having to be creative at work, then take a break. Don't be always in the situation where you're thinking of how you're going to do that creative activity, and you can be more effective at it later. Social rest. Sometimes we feel that we're all peopled out. And when there's a lot of people around. But the other thing is, sometimes they can help us. So it's up to the individual. If you're always alone, then it's helpful to have people around you when you're resting. So it isn't hard and fast. Everybody's different, and finally there's spiritual rest. And that doesn't mean you stay away from church 1 week. Actually, this is from secular people. They're saying you're better to go to a place of worship. That's spiritual rest than to stay away, believe it or not. So spiritual rest means worship, singing, praying, meditating. They say is very helpful. God knows what we need, and He tells us we should take 1 day of rest. And we each should make sure that we do that effectively, not just token. Finally, there is one other rest, and that is our final rest. This is from Hebrews. It says, "So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience as the children of Israel did." That's what we're looking forward to, is eventually an eternity of rest when we enter the rest that God has prepared for us. In the meantime, we carry on. I rest my case. Any questions? Jeremy. Good point. Good point. Yes. And none of that would apply to us in eternity either, right? It doesn't apply to God, and it won't for us in eternity. Good point. Yeah. Adriel. Yeah. Good point, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. They didn't enter into their rest because they were disobedient. And so he says that we should strive to enter into the rest. They missed. Yes, we have that promise of entering that rest. Yeah. Okay, I'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for what we have read in your word. We marvel at who you are, that you are so powerful, so mighty, that you have created these amazing, the universe, our bodies, those other creatures that cover the earth that we are responsible for. And you did it so quickly and effortlessly. But you showed your care, especially for us as human beings, and you breathed into our beings the breath of life. You gave us souls, spirits. that we can relate to you. We thank you that one day, as your people, that will help to make us so that we can live with you for eternity. Your plan is perfect. We are not. And we bow before you, the Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.